Can you believe it, that on a single strip of land, one can journey from summer to winter in just a day? From the Mediterranean coast, where cool winds carry moisture and the scent of salt, to the scorching red dunes of the Negev Desert. Where the intense light makes every horizon shimmer like a mirage. At the boundary where nature forgets whom it belongs to, history and faith still divide the same horizon. Israel and Gaza, two worlds, one land, where nature unifies, but truth is never singular. In a place where everything is divided, exists a city that refuses to rest. Tel Aviv is vibrant, shining, and breathes freedom right on the precipice of ancient fissures. The white city still glimmers under the sun, with over 4,000 Bauhaus buildings designed by Jewish architects escaping Nazi Germany. Each building stands tall like a rewritten page exile, transformed into design, fear transmuted into light. By day, glass towers reflect the sea that once brought their ancestors here. By night, these same streets that once offered refuge explode with sound and movement, as if defying the silence that once pursued them. And across the street, the Tel Aviv Sea, with its waves rising and falling like the heartbeat of a city that never stops. Along the promenade, joggers trace the first hints of dawn, surfers await the perfect moment, and cafes spill laughter into the salty air. The further south you go from Tel Aviv, the slower the world becomes. Entering Old Jaffa, the sea that nurtures Tel Aviv's pulse seems to hold its breath. Some say Jaffa was built before the Great Flood. Others claim it began with a chain and a maiden named Andromeda. Jaffa still carries the whispers of ancient empires. Glass towers fade into a backdrop of ancient stone, and the rhythm of the sea shifts gracefully. Old Jaffa port, once Phoenician, then Roman, then Ottoman, still breathes thousands of departures. Its waves once carried cedar from Lebanon, frankincense from Arabia, and stories from every empire that tried to claim this shore. Today, the harbor lies quiet. Fishing boats sway by the old breakwater, a stone path stretches into the sea like a memory refusing to sink. Legend has it that on these very rocks, Andromeda was chained, awaiting rescue by the sea and the gods. Above the harbor, St. Peter's Church stands tall in a beautiful cream-colored Franciscan style, its dome and cross sharing the skyline, where the sounds of prayers and bells harmonize in the wind. Built on the remains of crusaders and older walls, the church marks the spot where Jonah is said to have set sail before being swallowed by the great fish. In the square, the Ottoman clock tower still counts time that no one can truly own, its limestone glowing softly at dusk. And nearby, the Wishing Bridge stretches above the harbor, lined with the zodiac signs of travelers who once prayed for a safe journey. They say, if you grasp your sign and look towards the horizon, your wish will be carried by the wind. Jerusalem is not just a city. It is humanity's collective memory. On every stone, the beliefs of three great religions echo Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. A place where one person's prayer touches another's shadow, and history is rewritten not only by blood and faith, but also by light and understanding. Here, amidst controversy and fragile peace, the past lives on, in the walls, the scrolls, and the gardens of awakening. High above Haram al-Sharif, the Temple Mount, with its golden dome of the rock, shines like a fallen sun from the Middle Eastern sky. Beneath that gilded dome lies the foundation stone, where Muslims believe the Prophet Muhammad ascended to heaven, and Jews believe it is the foundation of Solomon's Temple. The same stone, yet two faiths' point of contact, makes Jerusalem the epicenter of both belief and conflict. Here, light reflects not only on gold, but on millennia of prayer, fear, and hope. Just below the Temple Mount lies the Western Wall, the sole remnant of the ancient temple. Jews from across the world come here, placing small slips of paper into the cracks of the stones, whispering prayers they believe go directly to God. Their hands touch what was once ruined, and it is in that ruin they find the most enduring faith. Tears on stone, yet Jerusalem stands as if the entire world's faith rests against a single wall. Leaving the old city towards Mount Zion, we encounter Dormition Abbey, where tradition holds that the Virgin Mary fell into eternal sleep. The fortress-like circular architecture, rising amidst cream-colored stone walls, evokes a sense of both resilience and purity. Inside, a statue of the Virgin Mary rests peacefully beneath a golden mosaic dome, her sleep a final farewell to earth. The Mount of Olives lies just east of Jerusalem's old city, a range of hills covered with silvery green trees and memories older than time itself. It is a baptismal place, visually and spiritually. For over 3,000 years, this hillside has served as Judaism's holiest burial ground, where over 150,000 tombs are carved into the pale limestone. Kings, prophets, and rabbis rest here, facing west towards the Temple Mount, awaiting resurrection. According to Jewish belief, when the Messiah arrives and Judgment Day begins, those buried on this mountain will be the first to rise. From its peak, the view of Jerusalem is both serene and haunting. The Golden Dome glimmers in the distance, and below, a sea of ancient gravestones seems patient eternal, awaiting the call of salvation. At the foot of the Mount of Olives, stretching across a small plot of just over 1,200 square meters, is the Garden of Gethsemane. According to the Bible, Jesus prayed here with his disciples the night before he was crucified. There is a stone tablet in the Garden of Gethsemane, inscribed with the biblical verses that Jesus and his disciples prayed that night. The garden is home to some of the oldest olive trees, many identified as over 900 years old, protected by metal barriers. Many speculate that some trees in the garden are descendants of those that existed during Jesus' time. The evening light falls on the silver leaves, reflecting on the dome of the Church of All Nations nearby. This is a place where even silence carries the sound of faith, of fear, of the hope for forgiveness. If Jerusalem holds the weight of history, then Galilee floats, suspended between miracle and matter. Seen from above, the Sea of Galilee glistens like a violin, its curves shaped not by music, but by tectonic fault lines and ancient winds. This is the lowest freshwater lake on Earth, yet it has witnessed events believed to transcend gravity. Along its western shore is a relic bridging the divine and the human, the Galilee boat, or Jesus boat. Stitched from 18 types of wood, each plank a story of scarcity and adaptation. Today, boats still drift gently on the calm Sea of Galilee, their reflections shimmering like memories. Watching them glide on the very waters where ancient fishermen once cast their nets, one cannot help but feel time folding, as if every ripple carries a whisper from the first century, when faith itself began to take shape on these waves. Stepping into the ancient synagogue of Capernaum, it stretches in quiet humility along the shore. Basalt foundations and weathered columns marking what was once the center of Jesus' ministry. Here, theology was not born in grand cathedrals, but under an open sky, where fishermen, laborers, and wanderers gathered to listen. The paradox remains: the most powerful words of faith were spoken beside the most ordinary of waters. Mount Arbel, its limestone cliffs plunging down to the lake below. Centuries ago, rebels hid in its caves. During Herod's reign, their cries still echoing through the valleys. Arbel boasts towering cliffs, views of Mount Hermon on the Golan Heights trails, leading to a cave fortress and the ruins of an ancient synagogue. The air carries whispers of faith and untold biblical mysteries. The Golan Heights spans over 1,800 square kilometers with striking contrasts. A land where basalt cliffs merge with lush vineyards and wildflowers bloom beside the remnants of ancient battlefields. from its windswept plateaus, one can see the Sea of Galilee shimmering far below and the snow-capped peak of Mount Hermon rising to the north. Streams flow through deep canyons, plunging into waterfalls that cascade into hidden valleys. Today, this once contested land possesses a wild, yet peaceful beauty, a highland where history and nature coexist in silent balance. Here, horses roam across open fields, their silhouettes prominent against the pale sky, their hooves echoing on deserted roads. Their proud, unhurried image carries an almost iconic, majestic significance. Mount Hermon rises from Israel's northern edge like a crack between seasons, half frozen, half alive. In winter, its slopes disappear under thick, pristine snow, transforming into Israel's only ski resort. The air is crisp, the light almost blinding, and the silence absolute. When spring returns, the mountain breathes. Melting snow seeps into the earth, nourishing the streams that will one day merge into the Jordan River. Fields awaken in emerald hues, dotted with wildflowers and grazing deer. Wild boars wander the pastures, their dark brown backs gliding like shadows through the grass, while foxes linger nearby, their eyes steady contemplative, as if they too understand that this place is sacred in its contradictions. Nestled among the rolling hills of the northern Golan, near the foot of Mount Hermon, is the Druze village of Pekin or Bukeya. Grey basalt stone houses are tiered along the hillside, interspersed with small church domes and slender mosque minarets, all resonating with a distinct rhythm of life, slow, enduring, and full of faith. The Druze here live separately, but not isolated, preserving their language, beliefs, and ancient rituals. Behind the village, Lake Ram, also known as Birkat Ram, glistens within an ancient volcanic crater. Its almost perfect circular shape offers a supernatural feeling, like a mirror reflecting both fire and ice. In winter, the lake freezes, transforming the landscape into a scene of glass and stillness. In summer, it becomes a refuge for herds of livestock. Locals whisper that the lake has no end, that beneath its placid surface lies a secret passage leading into the heart of the mountain. Caesarea Maritima, Israel's ancient port capital, is now a national park filled with mysterious archaeological treasures. 2,000 years ago, Herod the Great built a city right on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, where waves crashed against marble as if tapping on the chronicles of an empire. This was not just a port, but a declaration of power the sea must bend to human will. Walking on ancient stones and gazing at the sea, you almost hear Roman voices echoing from beneath the waves. Caesarea was built right on the Mediterranean coast, a place of light wind and power, but no fresh water. Between sand and salt, Herod was forced to do what no one had ever attempted: bring water from hills tens of kilometers away, using only stone and gravity. The limestone arches still stand stretching along the coast, where waves break against their bases, as if reminding us of the water that once flowed through them. In the evening light, the salt-encrusted ruins glow with an ancient bronze hue, the only metal that time cannot corrode. These Roman aqueducts stand firm to this day, over 2,000 years later, a testament to the engineering genius of ancient Romans. Caesarea's Roman theatre faces the sea, a luxury and also a metaphor for impermanence. An open-air amphitheatre built in the 1st century BCE, its stone seating curves like a seashell, and its open arch captures winds from the ocean. This semi-circular structure with a capacity for 4,000 people is still preserved and hosts performances offering superb acoustics and a glimpse into Roman entertainment often enlivened by modern concerts or plays. Amidst the vast sands of the Negev Desert, where life seems only a memory, ancient Nabataean ruins stand firm against wind and time. Crumbled walls that once served as way stations for caravans carrying incense, gold, and tales from the east. As the sun rises, the sandstone shifts from honey to deep red, as if the desert is breathing. On the sheer cliffs, agile ibex skillfully navigate the edge of the abyss, their gait both delicate and proud. In the Negev, everything seems to melt away, except resilience, the quality that keeps stones standing and creatures surviving amidst the death of sand. Stepping into the heart of the arid desert, Timna is a place where the earth still bears traces of fire and metal, where early humans learned to turn stone into copper, and mythology intertwines with geology. From above, Timna resembles a gigantic enclosed bowl surrounded by vivid red cliffs. As the sun rises, light sweeps across every rock vein, making the entire valley seem to catch fire. And as night falls, the wind carries the scent of cooled metal and ancient ashes. In the heart of the valley are Solomon's Pillars, natural rock formations tens of meters high, standing like stelae of time. It was once believed that King Solomon mined copper here, and that at the foot of these pillars, Egyptian metallurgists lit fires to worship the goddess Hathor, the goddess of copper and the desert. The remnants of smelters and copper fragments make this place both a mining site and a petrified temple. Rock formations shaped like mushrooms arches or naturally carved cliffs. When the wind weaves through the rock fissures, the sound echoes like metallic music, recalling a time when humans spoke to deities with fire and earth. In the distance, a hidden body of water, the artificial Timna Lake. Its emerald green hue stands out against the Rocky Mountains, making the beauty of this place even more mysterious. Leaving Timna, the desert wind shifts. The fiery red of the Negev fades, blending into the ash-gray hues of the Judean region. The sky suddenly feels lower, as if pulled down by the weight of stone and silence. Here the heat doesn't just burn the skin, it forges human faith into an unyielding metal. On an isolated rocky outcrop, Masada overlooking the vast Dead Sea, rises, like a fortress of will, an impenetrable stronghold of the Jewish people in Israel. The path leading up to the fortress is winding and endless, with sand and stone. At the end of the path, a towering mountain emerges. Without prior introduction, few could imagine a unique fortress spanning thousands of meters atop that 400-meter-high peak. Masada is a profound symbol of humanity's continuous struggle between oppression and freedom. Thank you. Heading east, the road winds through rock and dust to Mar Saba Monastery, a stone mirage clinging to the cliff face. Tiered stone walls cling tightly to the sheer rock face, making the entire structure appear to grow out of the very hillside. The pale yellow desert stone blends with dark copper domes, creating a spectacle that is both majestic and surreal. The tradition here still maintains the rule: women are not allowed into the monastery, only able to view it from the opposite side of the canyon, yet every breath echoes like a dialogue with God. Looking into the distance, Wadi Kelt Canyon opens like a green crack in the fiery rock. From deep within the earth, tiny springs trickle into streams flowing around St. George's Monastery, where the sound of bells rings down the valley, blending with the sound of water, a rare symphony amidst drought and life. Bedouin riders slowly move along ancient trails, their small figures against the giant cliffs evoke a sense that time has never passed. Finally, Qumran, where silent stones once held prophecies. The caves where the Dead Sea Scrolls were hidden, where the Essenes lived in solitude, awaiting the apocalypse with quiet faith. And sometimes, when the Judean wind blows through, one can still hear a soft rustling like paper, as if undiscovered scrolls are still stirring in the sand. Following the Mediterranean coast opens up another world, Haifa, a city of light and green. On the slopes of Mount Carmel, overlooking the Mediterranean, the Baha'i Gardens emerge like a symphony of order and tranquility. Nineteen perfectly manicured terraces stretch from the base to the summit, each level like a note in the harmonious song between humanity and nature. At its heart, the shrine of the Babu, with its glittering golden dome, the resting place of the Bab, the prophet who pioneered the Bahá'í faith, shines like a small sun amidst a sea of trees and white stone. Viewed from above, the garden is arranged with almost mathematical precision, impeccably trimmed green hedges, gurgling fountains, seasonal flowers, concentric circles, and paved paths guiding the gaze directly towards the sea. This is considered a symbol of belief in harmony between humanity, nature, and God, a place where every step feels like crossing the boundary between the material and the spiritual. Here, every hill, every stone, is an unclosed chapter of human history. And though religion, culture, or borders may divide people, nature silently connects all with wind, with sand, with memory. Israel is not just a place to see, but to listen. Where the past still breathes and every step touches something sacred that has never been lost.